The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Kelly Wall for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is poetry. For the next half an hour, I will be reading to you from the works of Thomas Traherne and Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Our first poet is Thomas Traherne. Thomas Traherne lived from 1636 to 1674 and was born the son of a shoemaker, it has been documented, in Hereford, England, attended Brasenose College in the University of Oxford, and was ordained an Anglican clergyman. He was considered a metaphysical poet and focused on childhood innocence and his appreciation of the natural world and deep spiritual happiness known as felicity. Posthumously, his poetry manuscripts were discovered accidentally in a bookstall in London. The first poem is by Thomas Traherne, and it is titled Innocence. But that which most I wonder at, which most I did esteem my bliss, which most I boast and ever shall enjoy, is that within I felt no stain, no spot of sin. No darkness then did overshade, but all within was pure and bright. No guilt did crush, nor fear invade, but all my soul was full of light. A joyful sense and purity is all I can remember. The very night to me was bright. 'Twas summer in December. A serious meditation did employ my soul within, which taken up with joy did seem no outward thing to note, but fly all objects that do feed the eye. While it, those very objects, did admire and prize and praise and love, which in their glory most are hid, which presence only doth remove. Their constant daily presence I rejoicing at did see, and that which takes them from the eye of others offered them to me. No inward inclination did I feel to avarice or pride. My soul did kneel in admiration all the day. No lust nor strife polluted then my infant life. No fraud nor anger in me moved, no malice, jealousy, or spite. All that I saw, I truly loved. Contentment only and delight were in my soul. Oh, heaven, what bliss did I enjoy and feel! What powerful delight did this inspire! For this I daily kneel. Whether it be that nature is so pure and custom only vicious, or that sure God did by miracle the guilt remove and make my soul to feel his love. So early, or that 'twas one day wherein this happiness I found, whose strength and brightness so do ray that still it seems me to surround. Whate'er it is a light, so endless unto me, that I a world of true delight did then and to this day do see. That prospect was the gate of heaven. That day the ancient light of Eden did convey into my soul. I was an atom there, a little atom in a sphere of joys. Oh, there my ravished sense was entertained in paradise and had a sight of innocence which was beyond all bound and price. An antepast of heaven sure, I on the earth did reign. Within, without me, all was pure. I must become a child again. That was Innocence by Thomas Traherne. The next poem by Mr. Traherne is titled On Leaping Over the Moon. I saw new worlds beneath the water lie. New people, yea, another sky and sun, which seen by day might things more clear display. Just such another of late my brother did in his travel see and saw by night a much more strange and wondrous sight. Nor could the world exhibit such another, so great a sight, but in a brother. Adventure strange, no such in story we knew or old, true or feigned, see. On earth he seemed to move, yet heaven went above. Up in the skies, his body flies in open, visible, yet magic sort. As he along the way did sport, over the flood he takes his nimble course, without the help of feigned horse. As he went tripping o'er the king's highway, a little pearly river lay, o'er which, without a wing or oar, he dared to swim. Swim through the air on body fair. He would not use nor trust Icarian wings, lest they should prove deceitful things. For he had fallen, it had been wondrous high, not from, but from above, the sky. He might have dropped through that thin element into a fathomless descent unto the nether sky that did beneath him lie, and there might tell what wonders dwell on earth above. Yet doth he briskly run and bold the danger overcome, who, as he leapt with joy, related soon how happy he o'erleapt the moon. What wondrous things upon the earth are done, beneath and yet above the sun? Deeds all appear again in higher spheres, remain in clouds as yet, but there they get another light, and in another way themselves to us above display. The skies themselves this earthly globe surround. We are even here within them found. On heavenly ground within the skies we walk, and in this middle center talk. Did we but wisely move on earth in heaven above, then soon should be exalted be above the sky, from whence whoever falls through a long dismal precipice sinks to the deep abyss where Satan crawls, where horrid death and despair lies. As much as others thought themselves to lie beneath the moon, so much more high himself he thought to fly above the starry sky, as that he spied below the tide. Thus did he yield me, in the shady night, a wondrous and instructive light, which taught me that under our feet there is, as o'er our heads, a place of bliss. To the same purpose, he, not long before brought home from nurse, going to the door to do some little thing, he must not do within. With wonder cries, as in the skies, he saw the moon. Oh, yonder is the moon, newly come after me to town, that shined at Lugwarden but yesternight, where I enjoyed the selfsame light. As if it had even 20,000 faces, it shines at once in many places. To all the earth so wide, God doth the stars divide. With so much art, the moon impart, they serve us all, serve wholly every one, as if they served him alone. While every single person hath such store, 'tis want of sense that makes us poor. That was called On Leaping Over the Moon. The last poem by Thomas Traherne is titled Eden. A learned and a happy ignorance divided me from all the vanity, from all the sloth, care, pain, and sorrow that advance the madness and the misery of men. No error, no distraction, I saw soil the earth or overcloud the sky. I knew not that there was a serpent's sting whose poison shed on men did overspread the world. Nor did I dream of such a thing as sin, in which mankind lay dead. They all were brisk and living weights to me, yea, pure and full of immortality. Joy, pleasure, beauty, kindness, glory, love, sleep, day, life, light, peace, melody, my sight, my ears and heart did fill and freely move. All that I saw did me delight. The universe was then a world of treasure, to me a universal world of pleasure. Unwelcome penitence was then unknown. Vain, costly toys, swearing and roaring boys, shops, markets, taverns, coaches were unshown. So all things were that drowned my joys. No thorns choked up my path, nor hid the face of bliss and beauty, nor eclipsed the place. Only what Adam in his first estate did I behold, hard silver and dry gold, as yet lay underground. My blessed fate was more acquainted with the old and innocent delights which he did see in his original simplicity. Those things which first his Eden did adorn, my infancy did crown. Simplicity was my protection when I first was born. Mine eyes those treasures first did see, which God first made. The first effects of love, my first enjoyments upon earth did prove, and were so great and so divine, so pure, so fair and sweet, so true. When I did meet them here at first, they did my soul allure and drew away my infant feet quite from the works of men, that I might see the glorious wonders of the Deity. That was Eden. Elizabeth Barrett Browning is our next poet. She lived from 1806 to 1861 in England and Italy. She was an English poet during the Victorian era and the Romantic movement. She wrote traditional Petrarchan sonnets, political manifestos, and epic verse novels. She is acclaimed for her intellectual versatility, depth, and staunch social activism. She was strongly considered for the English Poet Laureate in 1850. Our next poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning is called Sonnets from the Portuguese 43. How do I love thee, Let me count the ways. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach, when feeling out of sight for the ends of being an ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need, by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with a passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with the love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. That was Sonnets from the Portuguese, 43. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. The next poem by Ms. Browning is titled, My Heart and I. Enough! We're tired, my heart and I. We sit beside the headstone thus, and wish that name were carved for us. The moss reprints more tenderly the hard types of the mason's knife, as heaven's sweet life renews earth's life, with which we're tired, my heart and I. You see, we're tired, my heart and I. We dealt with books, we trusted men, and in our own blood drenched the pen, as if such colors could not fly. We walked too straight for fortune's end. We loved too true to keep a friend. At last we're tired, my heart and I. How tired we feel, my heart and I. We seem of no use in the world. Our fancies hang gray and uncurled about men's eyes differently. Our voice, which thrilled you so, will let you sleep. Our tears are only wet. What do we hear, my heart and I? So tired, my heart and I. It was not thus in that old time when Ralph sat with me 'neath the lime to watch the sunset from the sky. Dear love, you're looking tired, he said. I, smiling back at him, shook my head. 'Tis now we're tired, my heart and I. So tired, my heart and I, though now none takes me on his arm to fold me close and kiss me warm till each quick breath end in a sigh of happy languor. Now, alone, we lean upon this graveyard stone, uncheered, unkissed, my heart and I. Tired out we are, my heart and I. Suppose the world brought diadems to tempt us, crusted with loose gems of powers and pleasures. Let it try. We scarcely care to look at even a pretty child or God's blue heaven. We feel so tired, my heart and I. Yet who complains, my heart and I? In this abundant earth, no doubt, is little room for things worn out. Disdain them, break them, throw them by, and if before the days grew rough, we once were loved, used well enough, I think we've fared, my heart and I. That was My Heart and I by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Her next poem is called A Man's Requirements. Love me sweet with all thou art, feeling, thinking, seeing. Love me in the lightest part. Love me in full being. Love me with thine open youth in its frank surrender, with the vowing of thy mouth, with its silence tender. Love me with thine azure eyes, made for earnest granting, taking color from the skies. Can heaven's truth be wanting? Love me with their lids that fall snow-like at first meeting. Love me with thine heart that all neighbors then see beating. Love me with thine hand stretched out, freely, open-minded. Love me with thy loitering foot, hearing one behind it. Love me with thy voice that turns sudden, faint above me. Love me with thy blush that burns when I murmur, love me. Love me with thy thinking soul, break it to love sighing. Love me with thy thoughts that roll on through living, dying. Love me when in thy gorgeous airs, when the world has crowned thee, love me, kneeling at thy prayers with the angels round thee. Love me pure as musers do, up the woodlands shady. Love me gaily, fast and true, as a winsome lady. Through all hopes that keep us brave, farther off or nigher, love me for the house and grave, and for something higher. Thus, if thou wilt prove me, dear, woman's love no fable, I will love thee half a year as a man is able. That was Browning's A Man's Requirements. The last poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning is called Only a Curl. Friends of faces unknown and a land unvisited over the sea, who tell me how lonely you stand with a single gold curl in the hand, held up to be looked at by me, while you ask me to ponder and say what a father and mother can do with the bright fellow locks put away out of reach beyond kiss in the clay where the violets press nearer than you. Shall I speak like a poet or run into weak woman's tears for relief? Oh, children, I never lost one, yet my arms round my own little son. And love knows the secret of grief. And I feel what it must be and is when God draws a new angel so through the house of a man up to his, with a murmur of music you miss and a rapture of light you forego. How you think, staring on at the door where the face of your angel flashed in, that its brightness, familiar before, burns off from you ever the more for the dark of your sorrow and sin. God lent him and takes him, you sigh. Nay, there let me break with your pain. God's generous in giving, say I, and the thing which he gives, I deny that he ever can take back again. He gives what he gives. I appeal to all who bear babes in the hour when the veil of the body we feel rent around us, where torments reveal the motherhood's advent in power. And the babe cries, has each of us known by apocalypse, God being there, full in nature, the child is our own, life of life, love of love, moan of moan, through all changes, all times, everywhere. He's ours and forever. Believe, O Father, O Mother, look back, to the first love's assurance, to give means with God, not to tempt or deceive with a cup thrust in Benjamin's sack. He gives what he gives. Be content. He resumes nothing given. Be sure. God lend where the usurers lent in his temple. Indignant he went and scourged away all those impure. He lends not, but gives to the end, as he loves to the end. If it seem that he draw back a gift, comprehend, 'tis to add to it rather, amend, and finish it up to your dream, or keep, as a mother will toys, too costly, though given by herself, till the room shall be stiller from noise, and the children more fit for such joys, kept over their heads on the shelf. So look up, friends, you who indeed have possessed in your house a sweet piece of the heaven which men strive for, must need be more earnest than others are. Speed where they loiter, persist where they cease. You know how one angel smiles there. Then weep not. 'Tis easy for you to be drawn by a single gold hair of that curl from earth's storm and despair to the safe place above us. Adieu. That poem is called Only a Curl. I hope you enjoyed our poetry today. Our authors were Thomas Traherne and Elizabeth Barrett Browning. The poems read today were Innocence, On Leaping Over the Moon, and Eden by Thomas Traherne, and Sonnets from the Portuguese, 43, How Do I Love Thee, Let Me Count the Ways, My Heart and I, A Man's Requirements, and Only a Curl by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. We have run out of time for today's episode of poetry. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Kelly Wall, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Visit ncreadingservice.org for more information about NCRS. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.